You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daryl. Welcome back to another Breadline show. A show where you have more in common with a homeless person than a billionaire. Brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 a.m. on your dial or online at 3cr.org.au. And how are you, Jessica?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, glad to be here. And also welcome to Danielle.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Hi, Danielle.
Nice.
First of all, we'd like to acknowledge that this show is coming to you from the Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation, and their sovereignty was never ceded. So, yeah, we've got a bit of an interesting show. It's nice to have a visitor in the studio, but, sort of going straight into it, really, I suppose we should remind people that the Australian Unemployed Workers Union has an advice line which runs Monday to Friday, 10 till 2 every day, and Daryl has the number.
Yes, it's 1-800-289-848, or you can send an email in to auwu.org.au.
Yes, yeah, well, that's the line to ring, and when you do ring, you are talking to other people from the union. You're not talking to anyone who's paid, or just it's just basically the advice that we've gathered that we're able to give to people.
Yeah, exactly. We're all volunteers and we're trying to help others to be more aware of their rights.
I suppose in the last fortnight I've been getting very stirred up about the housing situation once again because of the sort of knock-on effects that being on substandard payments and then the cost of living, in quotes.
Mm.
And a friend of mine was trying to get a new place and he found that he had actually to front up with a bond of $2,000 just to even make an application for the place. And so that's the kind of, again, the barriers that are put in the way and what people don't understand who've got money in the, you know, big wadges of money in the bank is that all these things are stopping us from doing, basically having a better life. And there are a whole lot of issues to do with that and just sort of drives me a bit mad. You know, there are people renting out tiny spaces. There are people renting out garages.
And it's illegal to ask someone to turn up and bid at an inspection, you know, that $2,000, even though, you know, none of us are really into the law, probably, by the book here.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, the estate agents are really making maximum, taking every opportunity to sort of make life hard for people. And it's just got to, I mean, it's got to break at some stage.
Yeah, but it's not so much that. The thing is, estate agents make all their money through selling houses. You know, they make a lot of money doing that, but, you know, they make it's only a small amount.
With the rental market,
The rental market,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. I noticed just as I was coming in, I got an email from Rahu, Rental and Housing Union, and they're having a session on renters' rights next Sunday from 3 till 5 at the North Fitzroy Library. So, yeah.
Sounds good.
Go along to that if you have got rental issues. And at some point, this whole thing is going to collapse in their faces as far as I'm concerned. All the people who have been using housing as a nice little investment, I think that things will suddenly fall apart. But in the meantime, it's just a real squeeze on people.
Well, we've got families living in tents now
in
parks and things like that.
And all the welfare agencies I know in my area are all sort of racing to keep up. And there's only one organisation, Salvos Housing, which deals with emergency accommodation, and they have been, the social workers have been known to have to send people into Melbourne for accommodation, not necessarily the Salvos, but the social workers working in the housing area.
It's outrageous.
So what, someone's homeless in Gippsland and they get shoved into St Kilda for one night. Yeah.
Incredible.
Crazy. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we'll keep onwards. So the other thing that I was pondering on and I thought we might have a bit of a chat about is just the welfare system as it stands. So really, as we know, we haven't got being given the current payments on a plate, we know that they're far below the OECD standard of what the claimants should be getting.
Yep.
But at the same time, if we look back on some of the history of the welfare system, go back to 1900, and in New South Wales and Victoria, they enacted legislation introducing pensions for those aged 65 or over. And then going back to the 20s, it was developed a comprehensive national insurance scheme. Then during the Second World War...
Wait a minute.
1920s,
Insurance against...
Well, a national insurance covering medical, disability, unemployment and pension benefits.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
The 1930s. So yeah. Then royal commissions, multiple royal commissions were held on the subject, and the scheme was legislated in 1938. However, it was abandoned for cost reasons in the lead up to the Second World War. I mean, that's interesting as well. We used to have a saying, what the state giveth, the state can take away.
Yeah.
And we can't really rely on any aspect of the payments as they are now. And then during the Second World War, the federal government created a welfare state by enacting national schemes for child endowment, a widow's pension, a wife's allowance, and additional allowances for children of pensioners, and unemployment, sickness and special benefits in 1945. So they really haven't been going that for that long. And, of course, we get the classic, oh, what are you doing, your bludgers? We get that whole sort of trope, oh, you're not paying your taxes.
Well, in there also is the military pension, which probably goes back before 1900, I think, because they were giving free land to
the soldiers.
And then they didn't mess with them after they revolted with one of the governors who they got rid of him, like Trumpian kind of style.
Mm. Yeah, and again, there's the Medicare side of things. I remember when that was brought in. It was brought in 1975, and that was amazing. I mean, of course, not that great that it didn't include dental. I think we've all got dental problems as a result of it not being included. But
trouble is there. We're living a lot longer now, and in our natural form, our teeth just aren't made to last as long as what we're living now. Yeah. So.
And the I think the trauma lifestyle of unemployment probably gives us a few unhealthy habits, which increase that we have to, eat lollies and stuff to cope with or whatever it is. And so, but the other thing that gets me about those stats, Jess, is unemployment and sickness benefit. And we don't have that anymore, do we? And then they've made this DSP so hard to get, but if the existing job seeker was at a livable allowance and that there was a real actual sickness benefit instead of making that part of the employer's responsibility, then perhaps there would be no need for a disability support pension at all.
Well, a lot of people don't realise that there's no such thing as a sickness benefit anymore.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I find that outrageous that you know, it's, again, people are lulled into it if they aren't in any way in contact with the welfare system. They're lulled into the idea that if you're sick, you get looked after. But that's a thing of the past. So you basically have to be job ready, even if you're basically in bed.
Yeah.
But going back to the early 1900s, it was different times. And I think Australia was exporting a lot more than importing back then too. So, you know, we had a lot of money back then.
Mm. But the basic thing is that the unions and the progressive movements have fought for the system that we have now, and at any point that can be undermined. And, you know, we can't take it for granted, but we have to also sort of make links, like we recently had on the guy from the CPSU, who's the organiser amongst the Centrelink Workers and Services Australia. And, of course, they support what we're saying, which is the abolition of mutual obligations.
Yeah, great.
So and that's
probably causes the workers a lot.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
They support what we're saying, which is the abolition of mutual obligations.
Yeah, great.
So and that's
probably causes the workers a lot of stress too, listening to us be even stressed and on the breadline, right?
That's right.
Yeah, my consultant tried getting me to do work for the Dole again this morning.
Oh, gee, that's not a good start to the day, Daryl.
Well, luckily I knew me right, so I was able to put him to, tell him to, well, you know, stick it where it fits.
Yeah. What sort of a system is that? That you're over 60 and you should have been, you know, and they extended that age pension entitlement, accessibility so much, and then they're trying to make you do work for the toll.
Yeah.
What thanks you got for, your contribution?
Then you mentioned these other short courses on...
Oh, short courses, possibly run by the same organisation that he's working for.
Oh, of course it was. Of course it was, yeah. I've been trapped into those short courses before and they're nothing but common sense.
Yeah.
Like, things like, if you see a puddle on the floor, do you clean it up or wait till someone slips in it? You know, it's common sense stuff. It's tough.
As you've said before, it's the modern equivalent of digging a hole and filling it in. You know, it's basically busy work. The other thing, I was thinking back to a guy called Duncan. I don't know if either of you remember him. He got on the Q&A, so he was on TV and as a sort of spokesperson for welfare, as a welfare recipient. He lived down, I think, Ballarat, Geelong way. Anyway, he was pretty good because they came back at him straight away about the tax thing. And they said, well, you're not paying tax and started to do the whole bludger routine. And he said, I pay tax every time I buy food.
Yeah.
And he came back with it really strongly. I thought, good on you. And I quickly looked up the taxable foods and beverages this morning. And I find that, for example, if you feel like having a cake, as we mentioned, sweet things, pastries, sausage rolls, GST is payable for all of those things. So every time you go and have savoury snacks, biscuits, crisp breads, confectionery, a whole list of things, flavoured milk, you're actually... those companies that produce them are paying GST and they pass that cost on to you. So
and
you're
a souvlaki, we said souvlaki.
Oh, yes, exactly. Prepared meals and platters. Oh, God, the list is huge. Pet food. Of course, we know the outrage.
Paying tax on my menstrual cycle as well.
Exactly. I was going to say that used to be the outrage. We were campaigning on that in the UK in the 80s about that. It's not a luxury.
No.
This is why I only buy bare necessities, go back to basics.
Exactly.
Like spuds, pumpkin and, meat and things like that.
Yeah.
I can't afford frozen stuff.
Or bachelor's handbag.
I've only heard this term recently, the bachelor's handbag. Have you heard that, Daryl?
No, what's that?
I had a bachelorette's handbag last night. It's a
chicken in a bag.
Barbecue chicken.
That's known as the bachelor's handbag because the bachelor.
The barbecue chicken comes in a little bag. You don't have to cook because. get it?
Oh, yeah, but that's pre-cooked. But I'm talking about buying a raw chicken and cooking it yourself.
Back to
basics. I can afford to eat every day, but I can't afford cakes and biscuits or any microwave stuff. Flavoured milk and all that kind of stuff.
I don't have a microwave and the food parcel man keeps offering me microwave meals. So I'm like, I've got an oven and a stove.
They're never as good as the real food anyway.
No.
It's absolutely horrible, that microwave.
But of course,
sounds like you got fine taste buds like me, Daryl.
Well, I do make my coffee out of an espresso machine. So.
Yeah.
But, at the moment we'll be lucky if we get these luxury items that will be out of a supermarket bin basically, or else in my case we get them before they get to the bin. We managed to get them once a week and we got a luxury cheesecake out of part of our
Woolies One Thaggy doesn't lock the bins yet.
So basically the deal we have, which I heard from, I only found out about through a friend who does cleaning in the supermarket, is that if you're linked to a registered organisation, as in the community house, you can get the bread and all the cakes and all that before they go to the bin and before they go to the cows, because anything that isn't picked up by the groups like us go straight to the cows, and of course it's not
how offensive is that.
Yeah,
I will give the farmers the free food for the cows. Yeah, but don't worry about the people.
They don't want to give away too much food, otherwise people would spend less in the
supermarket.
And we'll get used to eating for free. I mean, that would be just so wrong.
As we were saying too, the fact that the payments have been kept so intentionally low means that a lot of the welfare agencies and the charities are actually building up their businesses in the process of actually catering to what they see as the needs of people who are basically on the bread line. So
yeah, but there's still a lot of them are still mighty overwhelmed though, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they are themselves. Yeah. But the thing is, if the payments were at a reasonable rate, they wouldn't have all the clients that they have, and so that's become its own business in itself, as we know, because of the JSPs.
Yeah, and we were just saying off air that like it's like funding the not-for-profit or the community sector, who isn't in itself is another business, but a lot of those are religious-based businesses, which is to me it's an extension of the colonial process, which was led by the missionaries. It's like we're almost reverting. Yeah, and it's sad, like at the food bank the guy's just like going, oh sorry, eggs are only for people with kids today. You know, I watched this old woman get so upset, you know, like she just wanted a few eggs. And then he was like, nah, sorry, you're not valued anymore because we only value people with kids.
Kids, yeah. That's
incredible.
Doesn't make you feel angry. Anyway, and so you're listening to Breadline, which is the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And don't forget, if you're having problems with Centrelink or your job provider, give one of our volunteers a call at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on 1800 289 848 between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday to Friday, or you can send us an email at auwu.org.au.
Good one. And also, we really would like feedback on the show, and of course, anyone who's in a similar boat is invited to come on the show. So if you did want to give us feedback, we've got a Gmail address, which is just breadline3cr@gmail.com. So, because we've got Danielle here, we thought we might just catch up. There's been a big public housing rally to defend the towers.
Yeah, that was great. Saturday we had, I reckon, 250 more people, maybe 300. And, yeah, residents coming together and the community support who have been given notice by the government that their homes will be demolished. And there's also a class action run with lead plaintiff is one of the residents who's taking them to court for human rights abuses. But I guess the link with housing stability and job stability or unemployment is that you can't get a job if you're living in constant fear of being kicked out, or, you know, our wait list is so huge that there's people who are living in permanently in rooming houses or transient accommodation, and there's just not enough housing for everyone. So you're keeping a class of people in survival mode. And those towers were built to give a fresh start to everyone living in the slums in the inner cities of Melbourne. And it was supposed to bring people up to like all having an equal chance. And we're just destroying that again and keeping that class the system is not doing what it says. So yeah, that's my.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one. Well, I'm glad to hear that rally went well. And you said it was the biggest yet.
Yeah. I think it's the biggest public housing thing I've ever seen. So I was really excited.
Should be too.
Tears to my eyes.
Something I learnt recently about homeless people too. This was a friend, a Facebook friend I've never met. She was explaining to me one day how when you're homeless, it affects your mental state as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like I've met some real nutters, here and there that are obviously homeless. And since I learnt that it's because they're homeless, it affects their mental state so much.
It's catch-22. Like if you've got a mental health condition that needs to be prevented, and you can't, the only way to get services is to end up, free services or Medicare funded services, to end up in an emergency department, which isn't a prevention. Obviously, we know the psychosocial services are not serviced under Medicare, and then that's leaving people way more likely to end up, even worse off, that they will never heal, end up homeless. And, that's a big one. It's another crossover with the medical system too.
Yeah, kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, well, we're coming to the end of the show and I can see the Eritrean voice people ready to come into the studio. But I just wanted to give a quick plug to, we're trying to get a branch of the union going in Melbourne. So we will be meeting this Friday at 5:30 in the multipurpose room 2 of the Kathleen Symes Community Centre and Library. And that's in 251 Faraday Street. But if you just look it up, Kathleen Symes, you'll find it. So if you want to meet some of us and you never know, and come into the show, tell your story, that's a good time to do it. But you'll have other chances too.
Okay.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.